American Olympic gymnast Simone Biles, who Sports Illustrated and many others have referred to as the greatest gymnast of all time, made headlines the last few days for withdrawing from the all-around competition. I want to take a listen to what she had to say to the media after withdrawing from the finals.
Yeah, I say put mental health first, because if you don't, then you're not going to enjoy your sport and you're not going to succeed as much as you want to. So it's okay sometimes to even sit out the big competitions to focus on yourself, because it shows how strong of a competitor and person that you really are, rather than just battle through it.
Biles hadn't lost a major competition since her debut in 2013, winning her sixth Olympic medal of her career in Tokyo, winning 19 world championships along the way. You can join in at 800-642-1234. In just a bit, we're going to talk to a sports psychologist. If you've ever participated in sports, have you dealt with a significant mental block? Have you felt like your mind got in the way of what your body could actually do? You knew it could do it. Did you ever have an injury or close call that prevented you from getting back out there, at least right away? Call in at 800-642-1234. Now, Liz Clark joins us, sports writer for The Washington Post for more than 20 years, covering 9 Olympic Games. Liz, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, I'm delighted. I'm so glad you're talking about this important topic. Glad to be with you.
I want to give a listen to Simone Biles. This was before the Olympics, talking to Sports Illustrated. Here's a listen.
It feels like work, but I choose to do it, so it's definitely fun. But then, of course, as I get older, the worries start to set in, like, okay, I'm in the air. If something goes wrong, like, I'm really going to hurt myself.
And that concern right there, it seems like it's at the center of the story. Can you talk about the specific concern that Biles was having about her performance and the so-called twisties, and why this was such a physical concern?
I'd love to, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding, and the two terms that she used might have sent some listeners in a wrong direction. So she described herself, as you said, as having the twisties, and that she also said she was kind of in the wrong headspace. But what she's alluding to is a state in gymnastics, despite the sort of fanciful sound of the word twisty, it's extremely serious, where in the air, and all of her routines involve flips and twists, multiple flips and twists, many with blind landings where you cannot see the ground before you land, which is highly, highly dangerous. So in the twisties, you lose your body awareness. She's in space flipping, and she truly doesn't know if she's up or down. And an athlete must rely on total confidence that they know where they are, and rely on muscle memory to get them where they need to be. And both of those things deserted her. And we saw that quite literally with her first vault in the team event, where midair she walked it back basically and left out a flip and did not land steadily, kind of did a roll and went immediately off the map. So what she's risking if she were to continue competing in this manner is not just a bad score or an embarrassing performance. It could be a catastrophic injury. It could be a spinal cord injury. It could be catastrophic leg injury that ends her career. The analogy is really to, I think, a 747 pilot showing up for duty with double vision or vertigo and making the decision, it is not safe for me to fly this plane. I need to stand down. That's the scale of the stakes, of the fear, and the reality she faced there on the Olympic floor, which was just tragic.
I'm not a gymnast with good reason, and I've been struggling to come up with analogies. Your plane one is a great one. I think, if I were out driving and I suddenly lost my depth perception and I can't tell if that car is 2 feet or 10 feet from me, I'd get off the road. And that's basically what Simone Biles did here, right?
Yes, and she did so for two reasons. A, her own safety. I mean, being slightly off on a double pike Yurchenko vault or a triple double flip that she, was planning to do, being slightly off, again, could be a spinal cord injury. So she needed to keep herself safe. But she also, there was a selfless component. She needed to stop because she knew her scores weren't going to be close to good enough, and that in a team event would cost her teammates the medal too, that that the best she could do was not good enough, and she needed her teammates to take over and drive, as to use your analogy.
We're talking to sports writer Liz Clark with The Washington Post, looking at Simone Biles, the Olympics, her decision to withdraw from events, facing the twisties, as gymnasts call it, and deciding not to risk her well-being or her teammates' scores, as you just heard there. Liz, can you talk more about this concept? I guess it's a common thing among gymnasts. They do these incredible, amazing, and in my mind, incredibly dangerous things again and again. What is it about this that they suddenly lose that awareness of where the ground is, where the ground is going to hit them?
I mean, I was not a competitive gymnast. But we have a former competitive gymnast who is in Tokyo and doing the bulk of the coverage on Simone, who I've covered for 5 years. So I've learned a lot from my coworker Emily Jambavo's coverage. And an elite gymnast know this term, the twisties. I think it's new for even a lot of reporters, because we, you know, gymnasts don't take the floor, don't take the gym floor if they have them. You don't really see them seize a gymnast in the middle of competition. So it's known kind of among elite athletes, but maybe not commonly known. And one thing we all have come to know about Simone Biles is not only that she has redefined the limits of her sport, but she is one of the most mentally tough athletes I have ever covered. And I've covered 8 years of the NFL. I've covered, you know, World Cups. I've covered tons of sports. Pound for pound, she is mentally fierce. So this is not something you can control as a matter of will or desire or toughness. You can't gut out the twisties. You know, it's sort of like vertigo. It's out of your control. As far as what triggers it, I think some believe that stress, extreme stress, triggers it. She's certainly been under enormous stress that she shouldered so bravely. We don't realize that. Just like she makes her stunts look so easy, we don't realize that she's, yay, so close to a catastrophic injury every time she does one of these extreme stunts. So, you know, the one-year delay in these Olympics was an incredible ask for a 23-year-old gymnast who's now 24. If you were a 15-year-old female gymnast, you'd love that extra year. Like, I'm going to get better. I'm going to get stronger. I'll be age eligible. I can compete. So this one-year delay cut two ways. It helped some athletes. It really hurt others. Simone showed no sign that it hurt her, but it took a terrible toll to tell a 23-year-old female gymnast, you're at your peak now, but just keep peaking for a whole nother year, and we'll get you to an Olympics. And that is a lot. We haven't even talked about the lawsuit that she is engaged in, along with hundreds of others, with USA Gymnastics, for whom she is competing. So, you know, she is at odds legally with USA Gymnastics and the USOPC, the U.S. Olympic Committee.
I wanted to get your thoughts on that, Liz. You drew our producer's attention to that. Not only, I mean, being on this world stage, this Olympics event, sounds really stressful to me. On top of that, she's been through the abuse and the kind of cover up and poor handling of that abuse from the organization she's representing on this world stage. Can you talk about that as a factor, an additional source of stress?
Yes, and I recognize that for many, many listeners and many people who follow the Olympics, it's understandable that we want to believe the Nassar chapter is over. The serial molester of hundreds of female gymnasts, he is in jail. He will never get out of jail. So that has been adjudicated. That is over. That's only partially true. For the victims, it's not at all over, because they want those culpable, those complicit, they want those who enabled their abuse to happen to be held accountable. And that has not happened. The former head of USA Gymnastics, who was given evidence that Larry Nassar was molesting female gymnasts, he did not report it. He did not act. And on down the line, there was a scathing report that just came out from the FBI about its own agents mishandling of what happened. So there's still key players that enable this abuse that have not had any consequences happen to them. So gymnasts, Simone Biles among them, are in a lawsuit against USA Gymnastics and seeking information that they're being denied. And so the fight is not over for them. Yet for Simone, it's just an impossible box this leaves her in. And she has not articulated it in these words. So this is my analysis. I want to be clear. She is tasked with competing for USA Gymnastics, which raises money, gets sponsors based on her success. And they're bankrupt because of Nassar, but they're trying to get out of bankruptcy. So Simone Biles is their biggest star. So her success, what she achieves at the Olympics, it helps USA Gymnastics get out of debt. It also helps them fund the lawsuits that are trying to keep information, from victims. So I just can only imagine. I don't think any of us can imagine how you compartmentalize. I think that's a good word that high-performing athletes use a lot. I need to control what I can control. Don't worry about the weather. Don't worry about this or that. Just like swim in my lane, do my thing, compartmentalize. And that's a great tactic for all successful athletes. But I just don't know how you compartmentalize this when it comes to abuse and feeling like you haven't had closure and still compete at your best. So that's just part of the psychological burden Simone has been bearing.
Liz, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Liz Clark, sports writer at the Washington Post, talking about Simone Biles and her decision to withdraw from Olympic events. Coming up, we'll talk to a Wisconsin sports psychologist, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you compete or have competed in sports, how do you deal with the mental side of your sport? Have you had that block, whether you're a gymnast and it's the twisties, or a baseball player and it's the yips, or whatever name your sport calls it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our conversation. We talk now to Alan Chu, assistant professor and chair of the Sport, Exercise, and Performance Psychology Program at UW Green Bay. We just heard about Simone Biles and some of the factors that led to her decision to withdraw from Olympic events, especially this so-called twisties, this very dangerous situation, a kind of a mental block in the air that lets you not know when and where you're going to land. We're going to talk about that now and more general issues for athletes at all levels. You can join in with your questions, maybe your experiences, at 800-642-1234. Alan, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Thank you for having me.
When you are talking to an athlete who has that block, whether it's the twisties in gymnastics or, the batter doesn't know how to hit anymore, they lose that skill for the moment that they've had and developed over the years. What are some of the starting points? How can they start to work through that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So normally when we work with athletes, we will need to understand what they are thinking and feeling in the moment. So the first thing that we usually ask them to do is just to get in touch with how they feel and what they think. Are they feeling nervous? Are they thinking about their opponents? Are they thinking about they are not having enough confidence to win? So after knowing the why, the causes of how they lose their skill, that's how we assess some of the strategies to work with them. A lot of time, it will take some routine, such as taking a deep breath, using some positive self-talk, such as, I got this, let's go. Or if they want to get more energy, explode, could be a self-talk word that they use. Or if they want to get more calm, they can say to themselves, relax, take it slow. So I think we need to really find out first, what are the causes of that mental block? And then based on that, we'll use different strategy to help athletes use their routine and different psychological strategy to help them in the moment. But even though I say that it's in the moment, those are the practices that athletes need to engage every single day at practice. It's not just one day or 2 days before competition. It's something that we work with them daily, regularly, so that they have practices just like physically. You know, they go to the gym, lifting weight, doing different routine and drills, same for the psychological routine and psychological strategies as well.
Now, most of us are not athletes on the level of a Simone Biles. That said, can this happen to anyone at kind of any level of competition where they get whatever that sport's form of a mental block is?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of time when we talk about that mental block is related to thinking too much, overthinking. When we are already good at something, we normally do not need to think about it. We just execute automatically. You know, even normal people, if I ask you to drive, you probably just drive without thinking about it. But if I ask you to describe to me how you drive and do the driving at the same time, it actually may mess up how you drive and it will feel awkward. Or same as if you need to do it, typing, type on a keyboard, you normally just type automatically. You wouldn't need to think about where each key is because you're so skilled at typing. And transferring that to sport in high school level, collegiate level, in a normal setting, you just execute your skills. However, for any athlete who have not gotten psychological skill training, it's very common for them to get nervous before the big game, even just the sectional tournament or state tournament or national tournament. It's very common, especially in a setting that they are not very familiar, which is something that we see a lot at the Olympics. But I would say that across different level, whenever you are in an uncertain setting, it's very common that you overthink and you get nervous. And then if you don't practice enough, you will not be able to deliver at your best. Even thinking about any performance, if you have to deliver a presentation to 1,000 people, if you never done that before, you have not practiced how to keep yourself calm, likely you'll feel really nervous and you would maybe thinking that, oh, people are judging me or I'm not doing well. You're just overthinking about other factors that are not related to your performance and end up cannot execute automatically.
Now, thinking about younger athletes, Alan, do you have thoughts for their coaches and maybe their parents to make sure that that kids aren't feeling negative effects from stress going into the game, big game or small game?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I had that experience as an athlete myself and as a coach also. I would say that also playing into the uncertainty factor that I mentioned, try to interact with athlete the same way as how you would as a coach or parent during practices, meaning that you are not trying to shout or yell more than usual. You keep the same energy level when you interact. But more importantly, I think we need to respect adolescent to ask them, hey, I know you have a tournament or you have a match tomorrow. How would you like me to perform on the sideline? Would you like me to support you? And there's something very interesting that based on the personality is very different. You know, I am a more extroverted person and I'm a little bit high energy person. When I go out and play table tennis, my sport, you know, I love that my teammate, my coach, people cheer me up very loud. But I also know some teammates who are more introverted, who like low intensity. They would rather no one say anything. They just want to be quiet and just be in their own head, own mindset going into the match. So I think really importantly, parents and coaches need to understand each one is individual and the athlete that they work with, how they want us to do to support them at the tournament, at the match would be best. And also keeping it consistent rather than if it's a big game, you know, I'm going to be more engaged as a parent. You know, we shouldn't do that. We should stay somewhat consistent so that athletes are familiar with all the external factor playing into the match.
And Alan, we know Simone Biles pulled herself from competition in part because she was in physical danger because of this mental block. For athletes who are having some kind of a mental or emotional challenge related to the game, when do you think it's time to say, okay, you know what, we need to sit out a game or two and get things back together?
Yeah, this is a really individual consideration. I think athletes may not have realized that if they have not been a big tournament or be on a big game. So all I would normally say is that, Simone Biles, she was quite obvious based on what she said. You know, she was saying that this was mental, but it was a very physical reaction. So in psychology, we talk about anxiety having two different components. One is the cognitive component, meaning that it's your own thoughts. You are thinking that you are nervous, not confident. You think you will mess up. You know, that's just the thinking itself. But that's the somatic or physiological responses that are associated with the anxiety or that mental block, meaning that you physically have so much muscle tension or you have lost your awareness that you can't even execute a skills. So I would say that if an athlete realized that in that match, in that game, the reaction that they have is not just their thought, but it's actually playing out into their behavior, their physiological responses, then that may be a time to call it a timeout, call a stop, reassess to see whether it's worth continuing.
Alan, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you again for having me.
Alan Chu is an assistant professor and chair of the Sport, Exercise, and Performance Psychology Program at UW Green Bay. He's a certified mental performance consultant and is on the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee Sports Psychology and Mental Training Registry. We talked to him about the mental component of athletic competition.